What we're dealing with here,
littering air,
is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoke in the reef.
Called the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah.
No, it's not real.
This thing a weed.
Takes one solid weekend of training to get that bag.
Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome back to the show. This is an interview episode with Mike Thompson of 10-8 Strength and Conditioning. Mike is a strength and conditioning coach and former police officer based in Nashville, Tennessee. He's certified as a strength and conditioning specialist and tactical strength and conditioning facilitator. His goal is to help first responders take control of their physical and mental well-being through exercise while preparing them physically for whatever their jobs throw at them. For articles, programs, and coaching, just go to 10-8sc.com and you can see all of his stuff there. If you do go to the site and you see something you like, if you're going to download one of the workout programs, if you use discount code PAP5 at checkout, you'll get $5 off of whatever program you pick. And then of course, if you want to do some one-on-one coaching with Mike, just mention when you reach out to him that you heard about his services here at Police Academy Podcast, and he will cut you a deal as well. You already get a deal being a first responder if you are one, but you also get an additional discount for being a listener of Police Academy Podcast. So go check that out, 10-8sc.com. All right. Also, don't forget that we did launch our membership at Patreon. Of course, you can't forget that because I keep talking about it. Why do I keep talking about it? Because it's awesome, and I hope that all of you someday will be members because it's the place to be. It's where the party's at. Now, the newest members of our top-tier membership program are Paul H., Dylan F., Kevin H., and Mike, the cop, our very own Police Academy Podcast Edition. You all know who that is. Yes, he even is on there, has signed up for our top-tier membership program. Now, all of these guys are sipping from their limited edition Police Academy Podcast First 50 Tumblr while enjoying the many, many benefits of their membership over there on Patreon. And maybe they're onto something. I don't know. You have to go check it out. One of those benefits is the fact that they get this episode on April 11th, over a month before it becomes available to the public. And if you are a member and you're listening to this part going, hey, I already know I'm a member, I'm leaving this in here just because I want Paul, Dylan, Kevin, and Mike to get their shout out on the membership edition of this show as well as the public version. So there's that. Without further ado, Mike Thompson from 10-8 Strength and Conditioning. Well, Mike, thanks for joining us here at Police Academy Podcast. First, I know you're in the Nashville area. When we first talked, you mentioned that you're dealing with kind of the aftermath of these tornadoes. So how are things going in your area now?
Yeah, so that it's like the timing couldn't have been better or worse. It was just March was just a weird month. So we had a bucket list trip planned to Alaska.
Oh, geez.
That's been planned for about 2 years. And yeah, the tornado hit before our flight was supposed to leave. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having to stay back for 3 days and just do some general cleanup and that kind of stuff. Thankfully, our house isn't super damaged. The actual tornado itself went through literally about a block away from me, about a block north. And so, I mean, we had 16 trees down, my neighbor had 22, blah, blah, blah. But we just had some siding damage and some gutter damage and a couple windows blown out. But thankfully, that's all getting taken care of. And then, of course, you know, with all this coronavirus stuff, like we took our trip, we made it back just in time before they shut down basically all the flights.
Right.
So it's been interesting for sure, man. I've been busy.
Nice. Yeah, that could have taken a bucket list trip into a nightmare trip, stuck in Alaska. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends on your perspective.
Well, yeah, it could have made it even better. I
don't know. Oh no, I'm stuck on vacation. I can't come back and work. It's horrible.
Heck yeah. All right. So I'm going to ask more about your story here in a second, but first I want to hit you with the big question of the day, at least for me. So this question is one that I always wrestle with. There's things in life that, initially, typically strike me as kind of crazy. I can't wrap my head around them. And as I dig into them, eventually I'll figure out, okay, this is the reason why this absurd thing still exists in society. And this is one I haven't figured out yet. So I'm hoping you can help me here.
All right.
So should we have, what's your general opinion on having a national standard, fitness standard for police officers?
I think theoretically it would be awesome. Like, mm-hmm. I am all about having some kind of really good fitness test, not just like a simple, you know, Cooper's mile and a half and pushups and sit-ups, but something really good based around the job demands that everybody has to comply with. Implementing it, I think, would be practically impossible. You got too many individual departments, too many guys on the departments that, quite frankly, don't care mm-hmm. a whole lot about their fitness. You've got things like equipment limitations, which I think they're probably running into with the ACFT that they were going to implement before all this coronavirus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to, I think you have to start with the departments first. If you can't get one department on board with this. So to give you an example, like Metro Nashville is obviously a fairly large department. I think they have about maybe 1500 sworn, 1600 sworn, something like that. I can't keep track of the numbers exactly, but they don't even like once you pass your academy and you pass those standards, like you take a PT test twice a year, but it's basically for participation.
Right.
Half the guys walk the mile and a half. Like nobody really cares about it a whole lot. Like I would always kind of go in and give like, a solid 7 out of 10 effort, but you know, if there's no reason to kill yourself for it, why would you?
Right.
And, officer retention and recruitment is already pretty low. And so I feel like if this is just one more thing that you have to do, then, it might not help. Theoretically, I think it's absolutely necessary, but I just don't know how you get all these departments and the bureaucracy of it all just on board with it. The ACFT, I'll bring that up again. It seems like, it's a multi-year process to get something like that going. And even then you have like a unified sort of command structure. So with all these departments kind of doing what they want to do individually, I don't know. I don't have a solution for it.
Yeah. And for everyone listening, ACFT is the new fitness test for the Army. That is supposed to go into effect this fall, but we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. I think they're probably going to roll it back. I don't see how they could.
Yeah. Well, we're supposed to be doing diagnostic tests. We're supposed to have taken at least one, if not mm-hmm. probably two or three here in the spring, early summer, at least within our company. And we haven't done anything because of coronavirus. We can't do anything in groups. So,
And the gyms are closed. Like, how are you going to lift?
Exactly. Like, yeah. And the ACFT does require you to be strong too. So,
yeah, which is awesome. I think all the PT tests should.
Yeah.
But you know, if they're going to close down all the gyms and then tell guys, these guys that have never lifted, like, well, you got to deadlift 300 plus pounds for reps. They're like, yeah, no.
Right. So I don't know. So theoretically, what's keeping us from the theoretical to the actualization of this? I mean, so looking at ACFT, yes, it is. If you look at the test itself, it's not really that complicated. It's pretty simple to learn.
Yeah.
But when you apply that to a large organization and hundreds of thousands of people, it becomes a whole different animal. So I understand that implementing in mass is an issue, but we have a very broken up system of law enforcement in the United States. It's decentralized, but we do have a federal legislature that can dictate certain things when they do it with the medical field, they do it with law enforcement already. So why can't we get a bill through the legislature that says, all law enforcement, sworn law enforcement officers are now required to meet this standard. And then, essentially say like, this has to be met. We're going to grandfather it in, for example. Mm-hmm. And then it has the departments have to report basically like continuing education hours. That's already a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to record the test results for each individual officer to keep their certification and be able to continue to be a sworn officer. I know that's like, again, that's theoretical, but what do you see as like the biggest hurdles for that? Is it just an unwillingness to push that in the legislature from the kind of like the people with the loudest voices in the law enforcement field? Or I just don't see why we haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of that. You're going to have people arguing. I mean, because I've heard every excuse in the book for it, you know, gender and age standards. What would those be? How do you grandfather it in? Like all the little details of it that people are going to, I mean, you know how it is. Like people squabble over all the little stuff, you know, ad nauseum until nothing else gets done. I think it's probably, for me personally, it's probably just a lack of faith in the system to actually get it done. So in Nashville, there's a sergeant on the department that is actually pretty high up in the national FOP this year. And, you know, I think maybe a body like that lobbying for something would be great, but they're going to have pushback from their members. Just being honest, you know, feet on the ground, realistic about it. Like a lot of the old heads just don't want to change. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the old heads are also going to be the ones in administration that are going to have the most to say about it. You know, I think that's probably the biggest obstacle in my mind, beyond any of the, because I mean, like what you brought up about continuing education hours, that's absolutely right. Like nobody argues that you have to have a certain number of continuing education hours to keep your certification.
Right.
So, you know, why not just put a fitness component, even if they just put it in like Metro does it now, if it was just, you know, some kind of very low standard and then build it up over time, like that might be a good way to do it. I don't know.
Right.
I just think if you go in with like this, you know, no holes barred, like, you know, even moderately difficult fitness standard, that you're going to lose a bunch of people and that they don't want to do that.
Right. No, that's a really good point. I was just about to kind of point that out, that yes, the standard, it doesn't have to be anything difficult. I mean, you look at the APFT, which is still the current Army physical fitness test. It is not difficult. I mean,
yeah,
if you can't pass that, you are just completely out of shape physically. Like it's push-ups, sit-ups, and a 2-mile run, and the standards are very easy to meet. Even for infantry. So, I'm not suggesting that we have to have something that requires you to be, you know, a CrossFit champion. Like you just something that proves that, okay, you can physically move your body and exert some sort of, force over time, you know, that you have some sort of cardiovascular output, some sort of, physical capability there, because this job, it's such an important thing. Like I know officers get complacent and they do find ways to avoid physical confrontation, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes you can't avoid it. And that could cost a civilian their life. And that's your job to not let that happen. Another officer. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I almost wonder, cause you got me thinking now, almost wonder if they did something like a defensive tactics practical every year, you know, put some kind of fitness component in a firearm qualification, you know, just something small where you had, you know, you can justify it. It's very, you know, a very job-based skill. You know, you're not getting all these guys that are overweight complaining about having to, you know, run 2 miles or whatever it is. That sounds kind of cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do some kind of buddy drag, and then you have to, you know, put rounds on target for, you know, whatever it ends up being. I'm not, you know, a big firearms guy to begin with, but I think that would be interesting.
No, absolutely. To me, that sounds like fun. I mean, standing there shooting paper, it gets boring really quickly. The firearms qualification that we always did was, it's like you do it twice and it's like, okay, like what's next? Let's do something else.
Yeah.
I understand, having been in law enforcement, now being in the military, like I get how it's the old dogs that kind of control a lot of these things, because they're in a position to have more say, and they also have a lot invested in not changing anything. It's just like, it's momentum, right? Or it's about inertia, and those old dogs don't want to move. They've been in that spot for a long time, and they don't want to get kicked off their little, the little hill that they're the king of, so to speak.
Yep.
So I guess we're just going to have to do it from the outside. So,
yeah, unfortunately, but you know, I mean,
guys like me and you that
actually care.
Yeah, we care, and we can say whatever we want because they can't fire us anymore. So
that's right.
All right. So you were a former Metro Nash or are a former Metro Nashville police officer. So kind of if you want to share your story, kind of what led you into law enforcement, your career a little bit, and then what made you, what prompted you to leave and brought you here?
Sure. So when I was in high school, I wanted to join the military, and that was kind of my plan for a little while. Like a lot of parents are, my parents weren't super keen on it, for many reasons. You know, they were kind of, you know, get your college education, that kind of old school, you know, you need to go do this first type thing. And they basically were like, well, they bribed me. They're like, if you go to college first, we'll pay significantly, help you out for it, you know, rather than join the military. And I was like, well, I thought about it, and I was like, well, you know, if I get my degree, it might open up some other doors down the line. So I'll go ahead and go. So I came here to Nashville for college. And you know, life happens. I met my wife basically our first semester. And we dated all through college, and you know, we knew pretty quick that this was probably going to be it. Like, we were getting married. So I didn't really want, you know, after talking with her and stuff like that, I didn't really want to join the military at that point, just because I didn't want to, have to deploy and, you know, the lifestyle things that come along with that. Mm-hmm. So I've been working in the gym, all the way through high school. I was a lifeguard and then working in the gym as well at YMCA. And then picked that up in college too, just to kind of help pay the bills. And then we got married, we were broke, like most people are when they get married, and, mm-hmm. you know, young at 21, 22. So I just kept training out of college, got a pretty cool corporate fitness gig that paid pretty well. Working for a large company here in Nashville, just basically being their in-house trainer. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really what I wanted to do long-term. It was, you know, an office environment, and those 90% of my clientele was like soccer moms, and you know, it just kind of, it got boring after a couple of years.
Right.
So I still had that military itch I wanted to scratch. And I thought, well, you know, I can join the police department here, in Nashville. Talk to some people, seem pretty cool. Like, pay was good. Like, everything. They have a very rigorous academy. So I went ahead and joined up here. Did that for a few years, and my ADD self was like, man, I really miss coaching. There wasn't really any opportunities there besides like the one or two positions they had at the academy for physical training. And I didn't really want to go back there and work. Mm-hmm. And I was just being, you know, transparent. I was burned out on the street. Like, I, you know how the schedule is. Like, you never really get a day off. You're going to court and then you're working all night. And then it wears on you eventually. I was having some health issues, stress-related health issues, and then some couple injuries as well that were kind of adding up and taking a toll on my brain. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try to merge the worlds that I like, you know, go back to coaching, but really try to be intentional about who I'm working with. Mm-hmm. And keep these guys in shape, because like we already talked about, like, you know, 80% of police officers are obese. That's the latest statistic that I've seen, overweight or obese, I mm-hmm. should say. That's even higher than the general population when you're in like a physical job where lives are on the line. And to me, it's like, well, that's stupid. First of all, like, that doesn't make any sense. And I feel like I'm in a pretty cool position to help guys with that, at least here locally. And then a little bit, you know, around the country, just, you know, try to change that perception and that mentality of you don't need to, you know, basically you don't need to really be in shape to be a cop.
Right. So what initially made you or got you into fitness? Like, what draws you to it? What makes you passionate about it?
I started working out in high school because of the whole military thing. Over the years, it's kind of been more, more mental for me. I've never really been a good, like, competitive athlete. I've competed in strongman and obviously, like, run 5Ks and that kind of thing, but I've never really been a great team sport athlete or anything like that. Mm. I'm kind of weird versus a lot of people I've met in that I enjoy training more than I enjoy, like, the game day competition. Mm-hmm. For me, it's more mental. It's having that goal to push toward no matter what it is. I mean, you know, just anything, fat loss, muscle gain, get, you know, 30 pounds on your bench press, whatever it is, just having something to push toward, having something that I can control when life feels out of control. You know, that gym is kind of a refuge. It's like, you know, no matter whatever's going on in your life, you know, if you've even got, you know, 20, 30 minutes, you can get in the gym, like, you're in control of that. And you can push yourself and it's just good stress relief. I just like that forward momentum.
Yeah. It's like making your bed in the morning. I mean,
yep.
At least there's one thing that you accomplished and that you have control over to start your day with. So mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I remember when I was in college, I probably didn't realize it at the time, but a particularly stressful period of time in my life, just because it's just a weird time. Was still figuring myself out, I guess. And, the gym was where I worked out harder than I ever have, I think. And I wasn't working out with anybody, I was by myself, but it was my way of decompressing. And I think a lot of people resonate with that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a time, I think I was actually training for the academy, but I was still probably 6 to 9 months out, I think.
Yeah.
I remember I was stressed the hell out about many things. And I remember it was a lower body workout. And then I lifted and then I went and ran some 400s. And that is probably about the closest I've ever come to dying during a workout. Like, it was bad, but it got done. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, if I'm gasping for air and, like, I can't breathe, I think the rest of my problems kind of seem, you know, a little bit less, you know, it's, I'm just grateful for oxygen at the end of the workout.
Right. So I'm going to jump into listener questions, because we've had a lot of these over the years now that we've been doing this. And if I remember correctly, and I have the memory of a 90-year-old, but I think that this is the first time we've had someone in the fitness industry, so to speak, on the show. So I want to try to hit a lot of these kind of areas of questions that we've had. And so first, we'll start kind of progressing through someone's career as an officer, right? So to someone who wants to be a police officer, but wants to be prepared physically before they even, you know, have to sit in front of that oral board, before the academy, before all that stuff, where do they start? Say you're talking to someone who has not been in the gym since PE class in high school, right? Someone who's mm-hmm. who's starting from scratch, where do they start?
I would just personally start where I start all my clients, is basically you got to know why you're doing it. It sounds kind of cheesy, but it really works. I like an exercise called 5 whys. So you ask yourself, why do I want to be a police officer? And, you know, a common answer is, I want to help people. Okay, why do you want to help people? Okay. And then everybody's going to have a little bit different reason for that. And you kind of progress through until you've asked why at least 5 times. You've got to have, if you don't have a deep driver that you've identified, because everybody's got a deep driver, but most people don't know what theirs is. And so if you can identify that, that's going to make all the training, all the stress of the oral boards suck. Let's just be real, like all that stuff. It's going to make it so much easier because you know why you're doing it. And you've got a very specific, like, path before you. Like, if you don't know where you're starting, like, how are you going to get anywhere? The next thing I would say probably is just start slow. You know, you can get on the internet and find any number of workout programs that are for a tactical crowd. You know, a lot of them just beat you up, like, really hard immediately. If someone is, like, completely fresh and, like, they don't know what they're doing and they, you know, they just haven't done anything in years, just, I mean, go for a damn walk around the neighborhood. I mean, it, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot at that level to get really, really big improvements. The best improvements you're ever going to see are when you're a beginner. So take advantage of it. Like, don't beat the hell out of yourself just right out the gate. Go for a walk, you know, cut back on the fast food, you know, or just eat something better at the fast food place. I mean, you can get a grilled chicken sandwich. Like, you know, if you need to lose weight, like, you don't have to change everything overnight, but you need to know why you're doing it. And then you need to start doing something today, even if you don't have a time frame. I talked about momentum before. Like, you got to have a little bit of forward momentum, because it will get more stressful and it will get harder, and you will have to bring in your willpower more. So if you've got good habits already that you've developed when you weren't as stressed out about everything, then it's going to be much easier to stay with it. You know, strength training, you really just get in the gym maybe 2 times a week to start. Just do some basic stuff, like whatever you feel comfortable doing. You know, find a good trainer locally or find someone online that can kind of help you develop a program and kind of be another set of eyes on you. But I mean, you don't have to beat yourself up. The other thing that, this isn't really fitness related, but, don't worry about like trying to, oh, I need to know a certain amount of law, or I need to have a certain amount of firearms training, or any of that stuff. Like, you're going to get all that stuff in the academy. Like, you don't need to worry about that. You just need to have good stress management. You need to be in decent shape before you go in the academy. So that's one less thing that, that's going to, hold you back. So like one quick example is when I was in the academy, you know, we'd have law classes and we'd have little 10 minute breaks, maybe, you know, every hour, every couple hours. And if you were falling behind on the PT stuff, you had remedial PT, you know, every hour on the hour, basically through all these law classes. So you never got a break all day. Like, you try to concentrate during law, you go get smoked, you're falling asleep, you go back into law class, and it was just bad. So if you can keep up with your PT and just, you know, have some kind of baseline before you go in, you're going to have an easier time with all the other job specific stuff, because you're not as worried about passing the PT.
Right. So what areas should people focus on in preparation for the academy? I mean, how do they make sure, because you could go to the gym and be pulling 500 pounds on a deadlift, but still find yourself in remedial PT at the academy if that's the only thing you focus on. So what do you advise people to focus on in preparation for the academy?
It's very academy specific. Everyone's a little different. So like the academy I went through used a very, just old school PT test. It was, you know, push-ups, sit-ups, 300 meter sprint, a mile and a half run. So you got to prepare for what you're going to be tested on. You know, we can go back and forth all day as to whether that's actually a good test for the fitness qualities a police officer needs. But as far as training for the academy, it's a little different. You have to train for the test. You know, generally it's going to be a lot more calisthenics based. You know, they just don't, you know, if they've got a huge class, they just don't have the room to get you in the weight room and have just the equipment. It's just a logistical thing.
Right.
So it's going to be very much a lot of body weight stuff. A lot of running. You need to get your shins used to running, build up slowly over time. Don't try to, you know, go out and run 4 miles a day every day, because you're going to be beat up within a couple weeks. That's the main stuff. The main thing, try to talk to somebody who's been through, you know, if you're looking at a few different departments, try to talk to people who have been through each respective academy that you're going to have to go through. Some of them just use like an obstacle course, and that's your PT test. So that might be, you know, you might need to be a little stronger with something like pull-ups or something to help you get over a wall. So it really is just, there's so many different standards out there. You've really got to do your research up front. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, it's an academy, there's going to be smoke sessions, especially at the beginning, every single day. You're going to get smoked. You're going to go to failure and beyond, no matter how fit you are. Like, we almost had to call an ambulance for a Green Beret that was in my class. Like, whether or not that's a good thing to do, I don't know. But, you know, that's kind of the reality of the situation at a lot of academies. They just smoke you and smoke you and smoke you. So going in with the mindset like, yeah, I'm in shape, I can pass all my stuff, but, you know, these smoke sessions are a game, and they're going to smoke me no matter what.
Right.
you know the thing, like, you get smoked with a pen, you know,
yeah.
Click the pen until you can't move your thumb, hold the pen over your head for an hour, like that kind of stuff. Like, it's just stupid. Like, you can't prepare for that.
Right. So I'll say two things. My academy was not like that. It was not really heavily modeled after like military basic training. So we didn't have smoke sessions, but I have experienced more than my fair share of those now that I am in the military.
Yeah.
And so if, for those listening, if you do find yourself in that situation where your academy likes to do the old smoke session kind of thing, like you said, you have to realize that it's a game and it doesn't matter what you do. It's a game and it's part of the process. You're going to get smoked no matter what. And those smoke sessions are, no one can pass them, so to speak. No one can survive one without going to failure.
That's not the point.
Right. Right.
They want to see what you do when you hit failure.
Right. And they're going to yell at you for, like, okay, if you're holding, in the Army, we call the front leaning rest, basically like the push-up position, being up, you know, on your toes and your hands waiting to like go down for your first push-up. Right. So if you're stuck in that position and you put your knees down because you've been holding that for 10 minutes, they're going to start yelling at you and asking you, you know, maybe it'll make you do 5 push-ups, but over, like I said, 10 minutes where you've been holding this position. Well, it doesn't matter if you've only done 5 push-ups, your arms are destroyed, and they're going to yell at you and say, why are you putting your knees on the ground? You've only done 5 push-ups. What's wrong with you? And then they're going to smoke you more as if you did something wrong. You just have to realize it doesn't matter. You're going to get smoked. And when your instructor, your drill sergeant, whoever it is, looks away, take a break. I mean, you're not going to survive no matter what. So you just got to kind of play the game.
I had a client that just went into the Metro Academy in February. And what I told him was, is like, give a solid, like 80 to 85% effort on everything in these smoke sessions. They're like, cause if you like get all like tense and bound up and let all the yelling get to you and think, oh my God, I got to impress this, you know, this instructor and I got to do all this. Well, it's like, you're going to get smoked anyway. Like it doesn't matter what you do. Like you just said, like, just give your solid 80% in those smoke sessions. Keep yourself healthy. Don't get hurt.
Right.
You know,
because
like, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're just,
and you can't,
falls to the wall, it's just not going to work.
Right. It's really easy to get hurt in those sessions because of how long you go, how many reps you do. And yeah, it's definitely wise to, I think you're right on 80%, is plenty for a smoke session because it doesn't matter. They're not looking for performance. They're just, it's part of mental and physical conditioning. They're trying to inoculate distress and help you get into a little bit better shape in the process. So yeah, you're not going to impress anybody.
You will get in better shape. Like that's for sure.
For sure.
But whether or not you could get in the same shape without getting smoked like that. Yeah. That's not what it's about.
Okay.
And I personally know the instructors get annoyed with it just as much as, as the trainees.
So there's obviously, we've talked about this, plenty of fat cops out there.
Oh, yeah.
And as there is no national standard, and with your department, there's a PT test, but didn't matter. Mine didn't even, there was no PT test ever. I mean,
wow.
It didn't matter. And, we actually did fire an officer at one point because he couldn't, at the very end of our firearms qualification, you had to kneel and fire from kneeling, and he couldn't get back up from kneeling. God. He was huge. I mean, there's a meme on the internet. It's hilarious. It's this officer, and this skinny kid handcuffed. And so you can see both of them. The officer's just massive. And then this got this skinny kid and he's like looking back over his shoulder at the camera, smiling. And then,
I've seen that.
Yeah. Wow. And it says, should I, what's it say? Like, should I go for it or should I run?
Yeah.
And that was one of our officers. they fired this guy and then there was a huge legal battle, for years. And, he got his job back at one point and then I think they fired him. I don't even know. It was a giant disaster. And that wouldn't be the case if we just had a standard, but for those officers who are already, you know, they're past the academy, past the smoke sessions, but they do care to or are now realizing maybe that they need to get back into shape. First, what areas do you think are most important to focus on as far as survivability? And what kind of workouts do you think they should implement to get into better shape, to be able to do their job better and survive?
Yeah. So, I brought this up a minute ago. The training for the academy is kind of different from training for the actual job in my mm-hmm. experience. You know, in the academy, we did some, we did your man down drills and we did, you know, shooting under stress and, you know, that kind of stuff, but we didn't do a whole lot of it. It was basically like, you know, kind of a way to wrap up whatever training block we were in, is putting you under a lot of stress, physical stress, and making you do the skills that you had to do. Mm-hmm. So with guys that are already on, and, you know, in most departments, like we said, like there's no, you know, push-up, sit-up standard you necessarily have to meet. I like to start with just a needs analysis of some job tasks that, that you have to do while you're on the job. So, you know, things like, a foot chase, like a short distance, you know, 300 to 400 meter, a foot chase, mm-hmm. While you're carrying, you know, 20, 30, 40 pounds of gear. That's something you're going to get into. Somebody who's combative, like that's something you're going to have to do, moving an injured citizen or an officer to safety, maybe under fire. That's something, God forbid, but you know, that's just the reality these days. Like that's something you may have to do at some point, especially if you're in like a large metropolitan area, mm-hmm. With all these mass shootings and stuff that are going on. So I basically, you know, look at those tasks and then look at, you know, what physical qualities will make those tasks easier. So some things that overlap all of them, moving under load. Mm-hmm. So no matter what you're doing, you're going to be carrying a bunch of crap with you. So you got to be able to run and not get hurt. You got to be able to run fast. You don't have to be able to run long. Like if I'm going to chase somebody for a mile and a half, I'm getting in the car. Like, you know, right. Like you don't have to be able to run that far, yeah. But you know, you need to have a solid 3-4, you know, 600 meters in you of an all out effort with under load. And then when you get there, you might want to fight. So you can't just, you know, spend all your energy on the run itself. Mm-hmm. A strong grip, obviously that's going to be important for all your defensive tactics stuff. Holding on to guys when they don't want to go to jail, buddy drags, like moving an injured officer to safety, being able to grab them with one hand and still have one hand on your firearm so you can defend yourself and defend them. Mm-hmm. Strengthen the hips and core. So, you know, core strength is kind of a sexy thing, but you know, you don't have to, it's not just sit-ups. Like you need to be able to rotate. You need to be able to move well. Mm-hmm. All the defensive tactics stuff. Like I'm not a defensive tactics guy. Excuse me. You know, that's, I've had training in it, obviously, but I'm not one to teach it, mm-hmm. but, you know, all the strength that's required, you know, when you got somebody on top of you to get away from them or to, you know, get on top of them and subdue them. So a lot of rotational strength. You know, you might have other things you got to do, breach a door, climb through a window. So you got to be, strong, excuse me, strong with your body weight to pull yourself up. Carry a large amount of gear. So, you know, some, that's a lot of stuff. So where would you kind of start in the gym? Strength, most guys are just weak, in my experience, you know, as far as, like both body weight strength and just absolute maximal strength, mm-hmm. just cause a lot of guys don't train it a whole lot. Like lifting weights is cool, but most of the guys I know that would go lift weights, it's, you know, kind of bodybuilding type, you know. I'm going to bench press and then I'm going to do some curls and then, you know, I might do some leg press or something. And that's kind of about it. Mm-hmm. So if you've never done anything, you just get in the weight room twice a week, pick some basic, total body movements that are going to build strength in your entire body. You brought up deadlifts. Deadlifts are great. You don't need to be a power lifter, but you need to be able to pick something heavy up because, you know, if you got to rescue your out of shape buddy who weighs 250, 300 pounds, I mean, you got to be able to move them. You know, if you can only deadlift 135, it's not going to happen, right. You know, so deadlifts are good. Just basic pressing movements like benching and overhead, pull-ups are important. Not a lot of guys can do them. But building up to doing them, I think is really important. Loaded movement, which is one that, a lot of guys skip. So you can do like farmer's walks where you just grab a pair of dumbbells, heavy dumbbells, walk around the gym, heavy sled drags, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, some kind of ab movement where planks, ab wheel, side planks, hanging leg raises, any of that kind of stuff is just going to build good basic strength. Just one or two sets of each movement is fine to start, 6 to 10 reps, you know, challenge yourself, but don't hurt yourself. You know, as you kind of build strength and you get in better shape, you know, we'll add sets and reps and make things heavier and that kind of thing. But, at first, like a little bit goes a long way. Like it really does. Conditioning wise, like I said, you don't need to be like this, you know, lean, mean marathon runner, skinny type guy. In a police environment, you know, I always say like, you know, if you're in a bad situation, you're fighting somebody, I mean, who do you want to come save you? Do you want the little, you know, 130 pound marathon runner coming to save you? Or do you want the Jack 200 pound dude coming to save you? Yeah. Like, to me, it's self-explanatory. But you gotta, you know, spend at least a couple days a week working on those, like mid distance runs, like I'd say probably 100 to 400 meter interval training is great. Mm-hmm. And then for the majority of your conditioning, I'm a big believer in just getting some BJJ or some defensive tactics training outside the department.
Yeah.
And using that for your conditioning, because you're getting two birds with one stone. You're getting in shape, but you're also learning job skills.
Right.
They're very, very practical. Like,
yeah,
like there's,
absolutely.
There's not anything really more specific than that.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to start somewhere, that's probably where you should start. The strength training is important, but if you've only got 2 days a week, spend it on defensive tactics.
Right. Yeah. Brazilian jiu-jitsu, for those who aren't familiar with BJJ. Yeah, absolutely. Officers, if anything, when it comes to defensive tactics, should be expert grapplers, because that's what you have to do. I mean, if somebody doesn't want to go to jail, you can't avoid that conflict. You have to get a hold of them and control them. And that's what Brazilian jiu-jitsu is all about. If anyone doubts, which I'm sure there are some, whether or not something like Brazilian jiu-jitsu or just general defensive tactics training is good physical conditioning, go roll with someone for 5 minutes and tell me how you feel the next day.
An eternity.
Yeah. You're going to feel muscles that you never knew existed. And you will quickly realize that's a great way to condition and learn how to roll. I mean, and that's, I think, a huge lacking, an area that a lot of officers lack. It was for me. I know that. Mm-hmm. And I knew that. I mean, and I think that's dangerous for the officer, but also for the public, because if an officer is not confident on the ground, and hand to hand with someone, doesn't know what to do, when they start to feel a little bit overwhelmed, and that is more likely to lead to deadly force. When an officer who is confident and competent in that area is not likely to resort to that as quickly.
Yes. And you know, it's, yeah, I mean, the deadly force thing, like you can go back and forth whether or not, you know, each individual incident is justified, and obviously that's very situation dependent. My whole mentality has always been, if I can avoid that, just regardless of whether or not deadly force needs to be used, if you have an option,
right,
I mean, just think about the legal ramifications of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so much easier just to get, you know, be competent in defensive tactics, get dude in custody, you know, and you're good, rather than letting the situation get out of control. Suspect gets out of control, you got to resort to something else, and then you're tied up in the courts for, you know, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just not necessary. BJJ is great. I like it over, you know, obviously your stand-up stuff like boxing and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been in a fight where, you know, it's just a street fight. Like, guy's going to throw, you know, just throw a wild punch, and then they're going to wrap you up. Like, that's how it happens.
Yeah.
That's what a non-experienced fighter does, is they don't know what to do with their hands, and so they just wrap you up and try to tackle you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be confident when that happens, because it is going to happen.
Like, yeah.
You got to know what your options are, rather than just being like, oh, you know, I'm just going to punch him in the face and it'll be fine. No, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
No real fight happens like that.
Yeah. No, I was arguing with a dude from jersey the other day. He's super, super proud of where he comes from, of course. And he's all into, you know, he thinks he's a really good boxer, and maybe he is. And I was arguing with him about the reality that, even if he's a good boxer, if he doesn't know how to roll, even someone who's, you know, not, I'm not saying like an expert in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but just someone who kind of knows what they're doing. You meet that person on the street, and they have no idea how to box. All they have to do is survive, survive long enough to get in close, and then you're done.
Yep.
That boxer who might be really good, is, if they don't know how to roll, then what do you do? I mean, you can't box from on your back.
No. And you can't box someone into handcuffs.
Right.
Like, what are you going to do? Punch him in the face and knock him out?
Knock him out and then cuff him?
Like, that's how it works. You have to be confident, like, with them on the ground, with your hands on them.
I mean, I'm sure there are some officers who would say, well, it does work. I've done it. But it's
yeah,
not the
okay,
best way to go.
That's the exception.
Yeah.
I'm not really great with either of them. But, man, that's not going to happen. Like, that's just not going to happen. And you don't want to have to rely on your tools too much, too. That's the other point.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'll just tase him or whatever. It's like, well, have you actually tried to tase someone? Like, it doesn't always work.
Right.
And even if it does work, you might not get him in custody quick enough, and then you're back to square one. So what are you going to do? Just tase him 10 times? Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what if your taser gets knocked off your belt? Or, you know, any number of potential situations that could happen.
Right.
Like, you should be able to restrain someone fairly well without handcuffs. You might not be able to get to him. Your arms might be tied up, or, you know, you might be injured, or who knows? Like, you gotta be prepared for just about anything, but especially just the worst case that you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you started to get burnt out when you were still, active duty with the police department. What ways can officers avoid that, both physically and mentally?
It's hard, and it's never going to be, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to say, oh, you can, you know, the job will affect you in a major way. Like, there's no way around that. It's more about kind of mitigating and managing the effects. The first one, since I'm, you know, a coach, obviously the first one I think of is take care of yourself physically. You know, if you've got all these, if you're overweight and you got, you know, diabetes and high blood pressure and insulin resistance and all these things like going on physically in your body, mental and physical stress from not getting enough sleep and just the nature of the job is going to compound all those health effects. You've got to take care of yourself physically first. It doesn't mean be like this super jacked, like crazy guy, but you got to do some basic maintenance on your body. It's like a car. If you don't take care of it, eventually it's going to break down no matter what you do. You know, a lot, I've talked to guys that, like, you know, they're really looking forward to early retirement or whatever, because they get into the department at, you know, let's say 22, do 25 years and retire before they're 50. It's like, well, that's great. But a lot of guys don't make it very far into the retirement just because of all that stress from those decades of police work. So you've got to have some basic maintenance on your body, nailed down. You got to have some kind of wind down ritual when you get home. So what I did was, I've got a room, like a little office type room in the basement, and the basement's right off the garage. So I would, you know, park my car, come in, take all my crap off, in this little office, leave all my police related stuff in that office, and then come upstairs to be with my family. You know, we don't keep a lot of police related, you know, like challenge coins or like these wall banners you can get and that kind of stuff. We don't keep that stuff around the house. Like, that's a personal choice. But for me, it was like, I want, you know, work to be separate from home. You know, now if you're like a single dude and you've got an apartment and like whatever, living it up, like, that's fine. But you know, when you're married and it's a little different. You got to have friends that aren't cops, which is very hard. I've been out for a couple of years, so I'm kind of coming out the other side of it. But for a while it was like, you know, I don't trust anybody. It's not a cop. They don't understand me. I don't understand them. They don't know what I go through. They don't understand. They ask me stupid questions about stuff like how to get out of traffic tickets or have you ever shot anybody, like those kind of questions. You'll get them, and it's ridiculous, but you will. So, but still try to have at least one or two friends that aren't police, because they'll keep you kind of from getting sucked into the world too much. Mm-hmm. It's very much a culture, and that's good. Like, it's fun. Like, some of my best, most of my best friends are still cops. But you've got to be careful. Everybody's a little different, but you got to be a little careful about how into the culture you get. I was told very early on, think of it as any other job. Like, you aren't a cop at your soul. You mm-hmm. work as a cop. You are, that's your job. That's your vocation. It's a calling. It's a big deal. It's a bigger deal than a lot of other jobs. But at the end of the day, like, I was a cop for a while and now I'm not. And I still feel like the same human being. Right. So you've got to have that mentality and not let yourself get sucked too much into that world. This one is kind of still a little taboo in a lot of departments. Thankfully in Nashville, it's not. But if you have access to some kind of counseling or just a peer support, you know, kind of program, or even just grabbing a beer with a buddy, you know, on a regular schedule to talk about stuff that's bothering you, take mm-hmm. advantage of it. Again, this stuff will wear on you. And if you internalize it, it will take you out in the long term. Mm-hmm. So just make sure that you have someone that you trust, whether it's, you know, a formal counselor or, like I said, just a peer supporter. Have someone that you trust that if you need to, you can vent to, and you'll eventually need to.
Yeah, absolutely. So your program's called 10-8 Strength and Conditioning. Mm-hmm. And I'll put links in the show notes for everyone listening if you want to go check it out. How does your, just kind of explain how your program works if those listening are going, hey, I want to do something. I want to make a change. I need to prepare, or I need to get off my fat ass and get into shape. How does your program work?
Yeah. So I've got several different things kind of that I do, because I have a lot of options for people, because I wanted to make everything as accessible as possible. Mm-hmm. So on the website, there's a program that's free. You just punch in your email address and you can download it immediately. It's just a PDF. I think it's 6 weeks. It's called Tactical Foundations, where mm-hmm. it's basically like I go in. It's more, we're talking about like the out of shape officer that's kind of let themselves go. That's kind of who I had in mind for this program. It's just a very basic strength program with some conditioning in there that's kind of specific to mitigating your health effects. I'm kind of assuming if they're out of shape, they don't need to be doing like all out 400 meter sprints. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing like that in there. But I go through like this needs analysis of what kind of things are you gonna have to do in the job. How do we prepare for those? Here are some good exercises to do that. Here's how frequently you do them. That kind of thing. So that one's just free to download. Anybody can pick that up. There are some other programs on there that are also PDFs that you can just download and work through. There's a Police Academy one that's kind of designed for the most common things you'll encounter in an academy. I kind of, you know, looked around and talked to people, and every PT test is a little different. Every standard's a little different. So I kind of made it as general as I could, but it's more running kind of O course based stuff with some calisthenics and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The one that people probably honestly need right now is the body weight only one, because all the gyms are closed because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
That one, I tried to take a different direction on that one because I felt like a lot of body weight programs I've seen are basically just abbreviated smoke sessions. And then you just do that every day and that's your body weight training. Mm-hmm. So, you know, max pushups, max sit-ups over and over and over, all these crazy circuits and stuff. There's a little bit of that in there, but I also tried to make it a little more adaptable and a little more versatile for like building more strength. So you can kind of choose your own exercises based on what equipment you have available. Like if you have a TRX and a pull-up bar, but you don't have anything else, like you can make the program work. You know, if you've only got your living room, you can make the program work. So there's a lot of options in that one. And then there's a couple others. There's a barbell training program that's based around the job needs. There's, I actually got one for firefighters on there as well. Those are the programs that are on the site. And then I do offer online coaching that's individualized week to week based on a lot more specific feedback than just, you know, I can write a general program and put it in a PDF, but it's not going to work for everybody. And so the coaching is more like, if you want that, that another set of eyes on what you're doing to make sure you're doing everything right. And then Nashville area, obviously I'm coaching at a gym.
Okay. Awesome. So, and all of that can be found, on the main site, mjttraining.com.
Yeah. So 10-8 has its own, it's just kind of like a landing page type site. It's 10-8sc.com. Okay. And I tried to put all of the police and fires and a little bit of military stuff on there too, but not a whole lot. Try to put all that stuff, on that page, so it's easy to find. And then my main, training site, cause I do work with kind of general population people a little bit as well. My main training site is the mjttraining.com. And at the top there, it has a link to the 10-8 page. So you can get there either way.
Okay. Yeah, I have it in my browser right now. And, even though like when I type in 10-8-sc.com, it takes me to mjttraining.com/10-8. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It like I said, it's just like a landing page.
Yeah.
And honestly, we did that because it was way cheaper than buying a whole new domain name.
Right.
So, okay. So it's all kind of centralized in the same spot. But I wanted the police stuff to kind of, I wanted a one-stop shop where you're not having to dig through a whole bunch of other stuff to try to find like what you're interested in.
Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure I got the right links in there. So if you're listening, go check this stuff out, 10-8sc.com. And you can see all the stuff that we're talking about right now. Mike, again, thanks for, I know this is Easter weekend for everyone who's listening on the public podcast, which will come out later. And I didn't realize it when we scheduled this, that it was Easter weekend, but appreciate you offering your time, today. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
On.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's a wrap for this one, ladies and gents. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully that was informational and motivational, because let's be honest, some of us need some motivation to get back into it and get back into shape. If you go to his website, that's 10-8sc.com. You can check out everything that Mike has to offer. Use promo code PAP5 at checkout if you download one of their workout programs for a $5 discount. And then, of course, if you choose to do some coaching, one-on-one coaching with Mike, just mention you heard about him here at Police Academy, and he'll cut you a deal as well just for being one of our listeners. It's 10-8sc.com. Mike, thanks again for coming on the show. Everybody else, don't forget to go check out our membership program on Patreon. I've already talked about an intro, so I'm not going to bug you again about it here. Thank you so much for listening. We love you all. Whether or not you're supporting the show, we're just glad you're here. So we'll see you all next time. As always, do good, be strong, fear nothing.